there's no better way to learn empathy towards humans, towards animals, towards our planet, than with a pet. They're just a living, breathing school all in themselves. I think there's nothing better.
That's Dr. Gary Weitzman, and I'm Dan Skinner. This is Conversations. Gary Weitzman is a doctor of veterinary medicine. He joined the San Diego Humane Society as its president in May 2012. He's a licensed veterinarian and an accomplished animal welfare professional with more than 25 years of experience. Weitzman has published 3 books with National Geographic, 1 for children, Everything Dogs, and 2 for pet owners, How to Speak Dog and How to Speak Cat. He joins us to talk about his latest book, National Geographic, Complete Guide to Pet Health, Behavior, and Happiness. Gary, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you very much. Great talking to you.
Well, let's talk, first of all, about the value of having a pet. And you address this in your book, that it does have benefits for humans' health and happiness. Tell us about that.
Yeah. We know the emotional benefit. I think we all took that for granted, or those of us that love animals do. But now we know there's physiological benefits, too. Oxytocin release, decreased cortisol levels, stress, anxiety reduction. All those things that we probably felt but may not have known physiologically why it happens. And now we know it actually happens to them being with us as well. So it's a good form of codependency, I think.
What advice do you have for choosing your first pet?
Well, first of all, I would say by all means, get a pet. Know that you have to put some time and effort into this, of course. They're not plug and play, and especially cats. People think, I don't have time for a dog, so I'll get a cat. And that's really the wrong reason to get a cat, because they take a lot of time too. But there's a lot of things to consider. You know, where do you get your pet? What kind of a pet do you want to get? What kind of a, start with a species, of course, dog, cat, rabbit, chameleon, depending on what you want. Where to get them, and then how to take good care of them as possible. And the book really centers around happiness. And I started off with human happiness, which for me is very strongly linked to my relationship with animals. And for a lot of people, same thing. So it's all about really how to keep that happiness at the highest level possible through healthcare, through behavior support, end-of-life care, the whole gamut from start to finish.
So you've got a new pet. What's your advice about ways to bond with that pet?
I would say, first and foremost, don't sweat it. That bond is the most natural thing in the world. I mean, we know, look at ducks out in the wild. You know, if they're unfortunately removed from a mother for whatever reason, they will imprint onto a human. I mean, animals are very quick to bond with us. All that they ask of us is to give them time and kindness and support. And those are pretty easy things to give. And so knowing that before you go into it, you're going to have to spend time with your animal. You're going to develop that bond, whether you like it or not, and you will love it. It actually really happens naturally. It's really a very cool thing. And I think you can extend that to humans, too. What we learn from animals, we can actually share with each other, and it really makes for better bonding with people as well.
You mentioned earlier that when we take on the responsibility of having a pet, you know, it's going to take some work. But people like to get pets for their kids, and kids aren't always able to give the, you know, the pet the amount of attention or the proper attention that maybe they should. So what's a good first pet for kids, and how can parents help kids learn the responsibilities they need for taking good care of a pet?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think it's fantastic to get pets for your kids. Your kids are going to want them anyway, so you might as well be part of the deal and help them to do it in the right way. But first and foremost, make sure that your kids want to love a pet. Forget about teaching responsibility, teaching how to, you know, take care of an animal. Forget about all that. The first and foremost thing has to be that your kids want and will love a pet. And then everything comes from there. Once you do that, then you really can have them learn how to change the water, to learn how to feed your animal, how to take care of that animal. We usually recommend kids start with pets at about 5 years old. That's probably about the earliest time that really you might be able to get a little help from your kids. It's also time that they can actually spend less learning about themselves and more learning about animals, which, you know, by default, then they learn more about themselves. But really, really important to make sure that your kids are capable and able to take care of that pet. 5 years is probably a good start. And then realize, no matter what kind of a deal you make with your kids, mom and dad are going to be the ones that are taking care of that animal. And the primary responsibility always has to fall on the adults, no question.
Yeah, I've heard stories of pets that, well, the kid goes off to college, for example, if the pet is that long lived, and then the parents need to make sure that they're prepared to continue to take care of that pet while the child is away.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah, absolutely. But I would even say prior to college, I mean, the primary caretakers have to be the parents, have to be the adults. That's just the default, and it's going to happen anyway. But what your kids can learn in the process is invaluable. And then just talk about empathy. I mean, there is no better way to learn empathy towards humans, towards animals, towards our planet than with a pet. They're just a living, breathing school all in themselves. I think there's nothing better.
Well, one of the basic ways we take care of our pets is to feed them. But there are so many options when you go to the pet food aisle. What advice do you have there?
Yeah, it's overwhelming, isn't it? Never mind that, but the labels on pet food, to try to decipher those, it's really, really tough. So I've been a veterinarian for 30 years, and I still have trouble reading those pet food labels. So I did try to break it down in the book and have some examples of what's on the label. But, you know, most of the companies make it even harder because they compete with each other and make you sometimes feel as though one is a good food and one is a horrible food, when in point of fact, it's really all food. Now, you should financially decide where you are in the buying of that food, what level. You know, obviously, go to a premium food if you can. Go to a pet store or your vet to get food if you can do it. And you can swing it financially. But there are a lot of foods out there, but you're absolutely right. It's confusing, and did try to break it down in the book. There's a very long chapter on nutrition, ranging from, you know, supermarket foods all the way up to shipped food weekly from human-grade producers that come in vacuum-packed bags of refrigerated food that are really kind of gourmet for your dogs and cats. And they're great foods. I did talk a little bit about raw food, too. And while I'm not a fan, I have to admit that lots of people are, and their animals sometimes do thrive on those foods. But as a veterinarian, it's something that does scare me completely to feed a raw diet. But you're right, there's a lot of choice in animal food now.
What advice do you have about the proper amount to feed your pet so you can avoid obesity in your pet?
Yeah, big problem in the United States, not just for people, is it? It's a lot of animals. I was walking through my own shelter in San Diego yesterday, and we have a 28-pound cat that just came into us. So Mark Anthony is his name. He's a total amazing cat. We would like to have him lose about 8 of those pounds at the very least. But yeah, the advice I'd give is, one, if your animal really truly is obese, go to your vet and have a prescription diet suggested for you with the amount to feed, the frequency of feeding. It's very difficult to have your pet lose weight on just using the food you've been using, cutting down the quantities. First of all, animals are incredibly food motivated, and the food is a really central part of their lives. It is for me too, but for our pets, it's really important. So if you were just going to cut your food down for your pet by 50%, you're going to have a very miserable dog or cat while you're doing it. Better choice is to go to your vet and talk about getting on a real diet that may have enough volume but fewer calories and carbohydrates to actually have your pet lose some weight. And then we do have a lot of animals that are, especially dogs, that are hypothyroid. And so there's no way they're going to lose weight until we correct that thyroid level. So there are some metabolic reasons that your vet may identify that you ought to know about before you just worry about dieting your pet, because you may be in a no-win situation until you get that diagnosis done.
Some people have mixed feelings about spaying and neutering, but tell us about the health benefits that you see with those procedures.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting information coming out now on spaying and neutering, ranging from what age to do it to should we even do it. And we know now we're at about 4 to 5 million homeless animals in the United States, which sounds like a lot, but in 15 years, we've gone down from 20 million down to 4 or 5 million. Spaying and neutering is the reason that's happened. So there's no question. It's absolutely imperative that we continue to do that for our dogs and cats, or we will have another horrible situation with lots of euthanasia in the United States. But having said that, we're learning a ton about how we should do this, at what age, and some of the ages have been linked to other health issues that are negative. But the positives for spaying and neutering are, there's a lot of them. For females, there's no chance of mammary tumors, of ovarian cancer. So a lot of those things are really important. And of course, you know, we don't want to necessarily have litters and litters of puppies and kittens. So there's that. For males, there can be a little bit less aggression and there can be less marking of territory, which is important. Now, if you have a cat, having a male intact cat could make your house be someplace that you don't have very many human visitors because it won't smell very good and there'll be lots of markings. So I don't know too many households that actually have intact male cats. So those are some of the advantages. We also look at fighting. So sometimes animals, especially cats, will fight less if they have been neutered. But so there definitely are benefits to spaying and neutering. The question really is, how soon should we do this? And, you know, honestly, it doesn't have to be at the pediatric ages that we do in a shelter, which by law, we generally have to spay and neuter before they are adopted. But if you're getting an animal elsewhere, you might be able to wait for 9 months to neuter your dog. And that'll give him enough time to develop all the physiology, all the anatomy, to have everything mature enough to have him have a healthy life afterward. So I would say, talk to your vet about the actual age. We are going to hear lots more about this in the next 5 years, the proper age and time to spay and neuter our pets. But really important that we do.
There's obviously much more in this book that we didn't have a chance to get to, but Gary, thank you for talking with me.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, Dan. I'm really happy to talk about animals anytime.
Gary Weitzman's latest book is National Geographic Complete Guide to Pet Health, Behavior, and Happiness. You'll find more interviews on a wide variety of topics at kansaspublicradio.org/conversations. You'll also find us on Facebook. You can use the KPR app to listen on your phone or tablet, and you can sign up for the Conversations podcast on iTunes. Conversations is a production of Kansas Public Radio. I'm Dan Skinner. Thanks for listening.